smiling because evidently one of my children possibly found out that I have this little band around that can just lock my Bible up. I didn't realize that. I was pulling on it for a moment and figured out what was going on there then. But thank the Lord to be here with y'all today. It's a precious thing to be in the presence of the Lord, but it's really precious when we can do that with His people. So I thank the Lord to be with y'all and praying the Lord to bless today. I would much prefer my brethren and in the ministry, all of my brethren, but speaking specifically of this time, my brethren in the ministry, but I feel like the Lord has made it clear to me that I'm supposed to share what He's given me today. I will remind you that we have a congregation in Alabama, and I'd like for you to reciprocate it sometime. But thank the Lord to be here. I'd like to start off and read the words of a song in our song book. Could I have one? Thank you. I meant to bring one up and I forgot. 144. And before we do that, if you don't mind, I'd like to say a... Thank you. Appreciate it. I'd like to say a quick... down. Are we good? Okay, my apologies. I'd like to say a quick prayer here. Dear Lord, we always want to remember, dear God, when we come to this place, Lord, that no matter how inspired we feel, God, that we need Your Holy Spirit to be that inspiration and be the director of this time, dear God, as in all our time together, Lord. So we're asking that You would have Your way, that it would be Your will and Your word spoken here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 144 in our songbook, titled Be Still, says, and just in case, I hope you're zoned in and realize that whatever the Lord has to say today, He wants to say it to you, but I want to make sure you are before we start reading this song, that these words are for us this morning, for each one of us individually, and I want you to consider them. It says, oh, be still, thou soul of mine, thou art not forsaken. There's so many more good words and we're going to read them, but that's enough right there. Yeah. To hear the Lord saying that to us this morning. Oh, be still, thou soul of mine, thou art not forsaken. Though the powers of sin may rage, thou shalt be unshaken. We heard about that already. The Lord is able. He's a rock. He's steady. He can help you and stabilize you and keep you. He who gave His life for thee thus permits that thou shouldst be. For thy good is thou shalt see, tempted for a season. So be courageous, firm and true. When life's battle's waging, oh, be still my soul and rest when the tempest's raging. He who doth our sorrows share in His love and tender care, trials more than thou canst bear, will not let thee suffer. Why shouldst thou so fearful be at the tempter's roaring? Simply trust in God alone, Satan's wrath ignoring. Thank the Lord. See God's tenderness and prove with the sainted host above His unfailing, wondrous love ever for thee caring. Yes, dear Lord, I will be still. I will trust thee ever. I'll submit to all thy will and cling to thee forever. Lord, thou knowest what is best, confident in this I will rest, till I dwell with all the blessed and with thee in heaven. Thank the Lord for these words of comfort and encouragement this morning. Thank the Lord for that song. I want to turn over here to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. All right. First chapter of Corinthians and the third verse. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." Now, I just want to say right here, I know, and we know this, that we're going through some things that many have said, "I've never seen anything like this before in our lifetime." I've heard many people say that, and to a degree that's true. But the Lord is not surprised. This is not out of His realm. This does not go beyond the tribulations that He can comfort us in. All right. Anything, and of course I'm speaking to a general thing going on in our world, but I want us to take it even past that. And I want us to take it past that. I don't want the devil to have us so focused on the big picture that we forget the individuality, the individual care that the Lord has for us in all our tribulations. Not just the big ones, not just the ones that seem the whole world maybe is facing, so to speak, but the ones that are very personal to us. The Lord comforts us in all our tribulations. And He says there's a purpose for it. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but it's all right if you'd like to. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so does our consolation. That's my testimony this morning. And you pray for me because, well, you just pray for me. I need it, whatever the reason. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. The things the Lord has done in us is all together to encourage us all, to lift us all up, to encourage us, and to help us. And whether we be afflicted is for your consolation, salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. And that's the word of the Lord to you this morning, but it's the word of the Lord through my testimony that I'm going to share with you. And I'm just going to ask you to pray for me because I have sent this to someone personally and given them permission to share it, but to my knowledge, I've not shared this testimony in this form publicly, but I feel like the Lord has made it clear to me this morning to share it with you. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to read it so that I make sure and get it right, okay? Or make it through it. All right. I will tell this story for the glory of God and in hope it can provide some comfort for those going through dark places in their life where fear seems to overwhelm them. I was a young man in my early 20s. I had reached the most intensive portion of my studies in the process towards obtaining the degree necessary to work in the field I felt God was leading me towards to provide for my future wife and family. I also had fallen and was falling harder every day for the young lady I hoped would one day be my forever love, my wife. School was very intense and I was dealing with certain aspects of it that set my nerves on edge every day. Besides that, acceptance into this portion of my schooling was competitive and meant that I would not be free to travel very often. Specifically, I would not be able to attend camp meeting that summer where my newfound love would be, along with many young men, who no doubt would find her beautiful. How could they not? We were very early in our relationship, and it was ever present in my mind that she might find someone else more interesting than me in my absence. She really hardly knew me at this point. Anyone who has been a young man in love knows the stress I was feeling. In the midst of all this, an incident occurred in which I passed out. When I began to regain consciousness, my vision was cloudy, and many people who had not been in the room were leaning over me and saying my name. I thought at first I had passed on and was entering heaven. When reality set in, I began to become emotional from the shock of the whole incident and had to be monitored for about an hour before I was able to proceed on with my day. All of this added up to the experience a few nights later where my year-long battle with overwhelming fear began. It was late evening, not sure of the exact time, but not long before bedtime. Suddenly, I began to feel a cold chill come over my body. It was as though there was a force outside of me that wanted to take over. Full of tension, I stood up and walked back to my parents' room to tell them I needed prayer. I made it to the room, and I believe I managed to get the words out that I needed prayer. Then I was laid out on the floor, shaking uncontrollably. That cold chill had turned to a black cloud, and I felt it was taking me in its grip and shaking me for all it was worth. I rebuked Satan over and over in the name of Jesus. Finally, after what seemed like several minutes, the shaking stopped and the black cloud relented for a time. But that was just the start of a year-long off-and-on battle with a dark cloud of irrational fear. I felt many times I was losing my mind to that dark cloud. I was unable to continue my schooling and dropped out. I had no idea how I was going to be able to provide for the wife and family I so desperately wanted. I never knew when the dark cloud would hit me, but it felt as though it was always right around the corner. During that year, I spent much time in prayer and reading my Bible. It truly was the only place I could ever find peace. I remember once someone close to me worrying that I was reading too much, that I seemed excessive and unbalanced in quantity of time spent in the Word. I understood their fear and how it could seem that way to them, but though I utilized other strategies as well to help control the fear, it was literally the only place I could find complete rest and peace. God was and is still good. He brought me through that time. He has given me a wonderful family and has never failed to enable me to provide for them. And that beautiful young lady, she is still the love of my life. We are coming up on 20 years of marriage, and I look forward to many, many more. I am reminded of the verse that says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, weeping, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools." Psalms 84 and 6. I can tell you, from one who has been through a very dark place, this scripture is true. God has used that time in my life to steady me and fill me for hope for the future. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens, these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, and Jesus alone. That is a testimony from my life. That's not the testimony of my life. That's just one of the times of my life, and one of the greatest times where the Lord has proved Himself. And He has used it to prove Himself again over and over in my life. There is not something coming or present in this world right now that the Lord cannot stabilize you in. There is no overwhelming fear or power that can overcome you if you will stay focused on the Lord. He is able to comfort you, to help you, and carry you through whatever you may face. You know, there's a song that we sing sometimes that says, "He will not fail me now." Oh, I wish I had the words. I wish I had them. I don't have them. But it just speaks of when Satan tried his best to do. The Lord was on my side, I knew. If somebody knew the words, that they can help me. That next phrase escapes me. But it says then, "He will not fail me now." Precious saints of God, precious sheep of His pasture, His children, the Lord will not fail you, whatever you are going through. You know, there was another song that came to my mind, and we're going to get to some scriptures more in here in just a moment, but I feel these are things the Lord has given me to share for the encouragement of His people this morning. And it says, "If the walls could speak of the times I've been weak, when everybody thought I was strong, could I show my face if it weren't for the grace of the one who known the truth all alone? If the walls could speak, they'd say that my only hope is the grace of Jesus. the grace of Jesus. But oh, the goodness and the grace in Him. He takes it all and makes it mine, causes His light in me to shine. And He loves me with a love that never ends. Thank the Lord. How precious He is to us. He's able, y'all. He's able. The things that we've trusted Him before that prove that in our life, He's just as able now to carry us. And I want to read some verses to you. Let's turn to Psalms 42. Now, a lot of these psalms that I'm going to read, in fact, all of these are generally ascribed to David. So I'll speak of them as David writing them, okay? So Psalms 42 is where we'll turn the first. And there's, y'all, I have to be careful. I get in the Psalms and I can just start reading them all. Thank the Lord for the precious things that He gave others to write for us. But Psalms 42, we'll read 1 through 11 here, says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O my God." And that's the burden of all this morning. It's not me to get up here and tell a story from my life or just to read some verses, but the burden the Lord has given me is that we'll seek His face. What's the answer to this time? Is it to try to go out and fight the forces of evil? You know, the Lord gave me a picture the other day, and I thought it was a message. He didn't really include it this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and share it in this. I saw a picture of a mountain, of the Mount of God. And I saw the shepherd on that mountain. And he's standing there, and I saw that all the sheep were there around him. And then there began to be things around the mountain, and the sheep began to see those things and look. And some of the sheep began to wander off to see, you know, what this is. And they got out there and they began to see maybe some danger. And maybe some were halfway up the mountain, maybe some were at the bottom. And maybe some looked out there and saw that it was danger that was out there. And they began to try to fight that danger, or to somehow try to be aggressive towards it. And it was too much. And when they realized it was danger, it was too much, they began to turn around and flee back to the master. But some didn't make it. Some didn't make it. Some made it, some didn't. But you know who was safe? It was the ones who never left the master's side. You want to know what to do in the hard times of your life? Or in times where it seems like there's trouble around? Maybe it's in society and you want to do something about it? Y'all, what we need to do is we need to bury our heads in the master's side. There's not another answer to this situation this morning. There's not something else you're going to do to fix this. The Lord has allowed this time in life for one purpose. God never allows things in our life to cause us to go do other things or to take up other things. But He causes them to drive us closer to His breast. That's the purpose of this time. Are we allowing it to be fulfilled in our life? Is that what we're doing? Have we come to this time and said, "Lord, I'm going to seek Your face even harder"? The things that are, whether it's what's going on in society or it's even some personal things that don't really have anything to do with that. Whatever it is, Lord, what's it making me do? Am I looking somewhere else to try to fight this thing or try to handle it? Or am I turning my face to You even more? Lord, I was here, but Lord, I'm going to just squeeze as tight and close to You as I can and just see what You do. He was made for our protection. Amen. Not our abilities, but the Lord was made for our protection. He exists for our protection. Excuse me for saying He was made. It says 42:1, "As the deer panteth, as the hart panteth after the water brooks," hart is a deer, "so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When I shall come, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" You don't even worry about answering that question. Where is your God? Well, I'm looking for Him as hard as I can, and I'm going to be as close to where I know He is as possible. And I'm going to let you figure out that question for yourself. Don't be distracted. Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Don't be distracted. Don't lose your hope. The Lord has carried you through things in your life. I'm sure there are many who God could have used up here and given their own testimony and had a testimony that could have proved to you that God is faithful. He is faithful. Don't be disquieted. Don't lose your hope in Him. He is the one who will carry you through this time in your life. It says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance, His face. For his help in my life. For Him looking. The Lord, you know, and I'll confess probably sometimes with some of my children, they're pulling here and I'm kind of doing something. But when I turn my face to them, you know what that means? We're fixing to take care of your problem. Or it may not be the way you want it, but we're fixing to take care of your problem. You know? His face. I shall yet rejoice for the hope of His countenance, His face looking at me. The Lord's not ignoring you this morning. He's looking up. If you're looking to Him, He's looking to you this morning. And He's waiting for you. If you're not looking to Him, He's waiting. His countenance is right there for you to take part in. You know, sometimes the other way around, we're sitting here going, looking at our children and going, all right, I mean, if you want some help, I mean, I'm right here. You know, that's how the Lord is. The Lord's not going to come and just take it out of your hands to do it. He's standing there watching. And then finally they'll turn maybe and look to us. And step up. Okay, here's how we're going to do this. The Lord's face is not turned away from you. He's just waiting for you to turn to Him and to put it in His hands and to look to Him and hope in Him. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember Thee from the land of Jordan. And of the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar, I will remember in my life where you have been faithful. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, and all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. My prayer and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, and thy enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down in me, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance. You know, I kind of moved past that a little too quickly. Remember all this, he's acknowledging this. He's realizing where his hope is there in the eighth verse, that yet the Lord will command this thing to me. And so then he says, all right, here's how we're going to do it, Lord. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about this whole situation. I'm going to not try to handle it. I'm not going to listen to the questions they're saying, where is your God? That they can answer that question. They can figure that out. But I figured out where my hope is now. But I do have questions. I do have. Bring them to God. He's not telling you to look towards His face so that you'll just be quiet. He's telling you to look towards His face and bring your need to me. I said, when my children look to me, I'm okay, now what is it you need? All right, I've got your attention. You've got my attention. What do you need? Tell me. Tell me about it. With hope, knowing that I'm going to do something about it. Not in complaints and bitter, just what? Why is all this happening? Why is all this? But saying, Lord, you see what's happening. Lord, you are my hope. What is this about? Oh, empty your heart to Him. Stop emptying it against the world and against those things. Stop that. You're not going to win that battle. In fact, you're going to lose your soul. If the end of that is what it is, because you're standing out there in your own strength trying to handle the situation, turn back to God and depend on Him. All right, Psalms 23. We probably have a few people who could say this from memory, but I'm going to turn over there and read it to you. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you believe the Word of God? I know you do. I know you wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't believe something about it. I hope your faith is strong. If it's not, the Lord bless and increase our faith this morning. And we all need it. Whether you feel like your faith is strong or not, Lord bless and increase all of our faith this morning. Do you believe the Word of God? Listen to what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But this is, don't worry. It's going to all be taken care of. One place it says, I've seen the wicked like a big bay, olive tree, I think is what it says. Just spreading himself over. And then all of a sudden I looked and he was gone. What happened? The Lord's got this under control. There is no want. The Lord will take care of all things. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because I'm something brave and... No, did you hear the words I read earlier? That song? The walls could speak of the times I've been with. No, but because Thou art with me. What else matters? Does it really matter if we win the debate? Does it matter? If we prove, we say, oh no, here is my God. When they're saying, where is my God? Does it matter if we win that debate? No! Let the Lord win that debate. He's going to win it. And I hope when He wins it that they're all saved. And they're all going, yep, I found Him. It's not going to be that way. But that's what I want. Don't try to win the debate. Let the Lord do that. Alright? It says, yea, though I walk, okay. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why art Thou disquieted within me? Do I not see the great, wonderful, incredible power of my God? There is nothing beyond His ability. He doesn't have to just kind of hold the enemies off. He says, you know what we're fixing to do? We're going to sit down and have lunch. Right in front of this whole situation. We're going to sit down and have lunch. Not to show up, but because it's what you need. And I'm your shepherd, so to speak. And this is what you need, so this is what we're going to do. And I can't do anything about it, because it's what you need. Don't get confused with God. Maybe there's some things you want in life. What you need, the Lord will provide for, and nothing can stop it. Nothing. No, you know, I'm not in a discussion here. This isn't a discussion. This isn't a debate. Nothing can stop it. The Lord will do whatever is needed in your life if you will trust and hope in Him. So it says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Oh, I thank the Lord for the blessings of the situations He's allowed in my life so that my cup can run over. I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, I do look and I say, well, I wish it could be different. But Lord, if this is what it takes for my cup to run over, then let my cup run over. Because that's wonderful. That's what I want out of life. I want it just to be able to run over like that. All right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day. How many times have I looked and people said, well, how did that happen? Or how did this... It's the Lord's mercy. I don't know. All I got to tell you is that as I followed the Lord, His goodness and mercy have followed me. And things I didn't think could happen have happened. Then things did, you know, in my own... I didn't have a clue how to make them happen. Some things you kind of think you maybe could figure out. Some things you don't. The Lord's got them all in His hands. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's great. But guess what? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where are my hopes this morning? What is it that I'm fighting for in this life? Am I fighting for something down here? Or am I fighting so that my soul one day will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? That's what I want. That's what our heart should be this morning. That's what should matter more than anything. And what should matter second? What should matter second is that my neighbor would be there too. Whatever it takes. My enemy, whatever. That he would be there too. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 27 and 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's not me. I'm not big and bad. But I know the Lord's got this, and He is. He's big and good. He's big and good, and He's got this. What am I doing sitting back here fearing this situation? Trust in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. It says, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat me up, they stumbled and fell. Why? Not because I figured out how to make them do it, but because I trusted in the Lord and He's got this situation in His hands. And these aren't physical enemies. Those aren't... Okay, we're on the wrong plane if that's what we're worried about. This is the spiritual enemies of my soul, which involves everything. All right? The Lord's got all that. That's trying. That's what's going on in the world. Satan's behind all this. It's going on in the world, going on in your life individually. The power that's there for evil is trying to destroy you. He's trying to come up and eat you up, devour you. That's why it talks about him being like a lion. All right? It says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me. This isn't talking about like two or three guys hanging out around the edge of the fire. This is talking about like when Elijah or Elisha, I always get that confused. Elisha, I think it was. I think you're right. He walked out and his servant walked out and saw all the Syrians around on the hillside. And then he's wondering, Elisha, something's wrong with you. Do you not see what's going on here? And he's like, no, you don't see what's going on here. And he prayed, and God opened his eyes, and he saw chariots of fire. They were on the hillside. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. The Syrians were around the city, but they were all around on the mountains. Chariots of fire. And his eyes were open. He realized, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, and this will I be confident, that I've got it all figured out, that I know how to debate them and defeat them. It's not what the Word of God says. I don't want to stand on anything else. The Word of God says, though a host should camp against me, and my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I'm not trading that to try to go win whatever it is that's out there. That's what I'm looking for. And if there's anything this time needs to do in my life, or these times that come along in my life, they need to make me look for that even more in my life and drive me even harder to that place. For why? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Well, what are you going to do about all this situation? Well, here it tells you what you're going to do about it. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. Oh, I remember a story, and I don't know the authenticity of it at all, but it was about a missionary or a Christian family that was somewhere overseas somewhere, and some who did not like the Christians broke into their houses to just kill them all. And he gathered his family all together in a spot in that house, and he just put his arms around them, said, "We'll just all die together." And the people couldn't find them. They couldn't find them. And how many times has the Lord worked just miracles when it was necessary for His people? Anytime it was necessary, the Lord did it. He didn't do it for show, but He did it to take care of His people whenever it was necessary. So it says, for in the time of trouble shall He hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the God. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy upon me, and also answer me. When thou sayest, seek my face, my heart. Look, I'm right here. God's saying to us, just turn around and look at me. Look at me for the help you need in your life. It says, when thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Oh yeah, I just remember something. When my father and mother forsake me, then will the Lord take me up. The Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. He's told me that, and He's proved that to me in my life. Psalms 24. I know we're getting close on time here. Y'all, bear with me. We'll try to move through this as quickly as possible. Psalms 24. 1 says, "The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the..." It's His. He's got it under control. "Who shall ascend?" Here's our question. Here's what our hearts need to be focused on. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Lord. This is what happens to them. This is their generation. Well, there's more that the Lord's given me, but I feel like that's the message for today, and we can stop there. I want to read a famous poem to you here in closing. All right, it says, "One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it seemed to happen at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. 'Lord, you said once I decided to follow you that you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you the most, you would leave me.' The Lord replied, 'My son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.'" This is truth. This poem is truth. This is the truth of the Lord. He will never leave you or forsake you. Don't look away from Him. Don't look out trying to handle the situations that are around you. Look to the Lord even more and bury your head in His chest. He will carry you. You pray for me.